Hello, I'm Emma Rutland, the Duchess of Rutland, and this is my podcast, Duchess, a podcast in which I explore the most historic homes in the UK and meet the inspiring women who lead them. As a daughter of a Welsh farmer, I grew up far away from the glamour and wealth of aristocracy. But my life changed forever when I fell in love and married my husband, the 11th Duke of Rutland. Suddenly, one of Britain's most historic buildings was not only my home, but under my care. I wanted to learn more about this world and hear the stories of the other women, like me, the custodians of these great homes. So, in this podcast, I will travel to breathtaking homes, learn incredible history, and meet the inspiring women who lead these estates today. So please do join me on my very special journey. This is Duchess, the podcast. Before we get started, I'd like to say thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Circle DNA. For those who may not know, Circle DNA is a company that specializes in finding smarter, easier, and more effective solutions to your health by testing your DNA. Listeners, you know how much I love to learn about family history and lineage, and I found my Circle Premium results absolutely fascinating. I learned so much about myself, from my diet and nutrition, skin and fitness, to common diseases and cancer risks. Circle DNA believe there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to healthy living, and something I've learned from visiting all these different homes and meeting so many wonderful people along the way is that we all are so very different, with our own unique outlook and our own unique stories to tell. So developing your own unique approach to your personal health makes total sense. If you sign up to Circle DNA, you will receive your DNA testing kit in the post. Use the easy-to-follow testing instructions to self-swab at home. Send your completed swab to their laboratory for analysis, and within 3 weeks, you'll receive your results and personalized recommendations. You will also have the opportunity to book 2 complimentary consultations, one with a health coach and one with a genetic counsellor. To learn more about Circle DNA, visit their website and use the code THEDUCHESS40 for 40% off their DNA test kits. If you travel 15 miles from the Yorkshire Dales National Park towards Scarborough, you may be surprised to see a proud Palladian beauty of architectural design that would seem more at home in the Roman Forum than in the unspoiled and idyllic green of Yorkshire. But your eyes do not deceive, as you are looking at the historic Constable Burton. Home to the Wyvill family, Constable Burton Hall and Gardens is a very special place. The mix of Georgian and neoclassical has created a home that seems perfectly proportioned. As you make your way down the drive, the grand entrance conjures up feelings of awe from its beautiful ashlar stone stairs and striking Roman columns. For as long as Constable Burton and Gardens has stood, the Wyvilles have called it home. Imogen Wyville, along with her husband Darcy, are the devoted custodians today. And I met Imogen to learn more about her and her handsome home. In the show, Imogen introduces me to the chess grandmaster who courted Florence Nightingale. I learn about the Wyville family's important hand in the abolition of slavery, and we discuss the famed and fabulous Tulip Festival that is hosted here at Constable Burton annually. And thank you so much, Imogen, for having me in your home. What a true pleasure for me it is. So Constable Burton has been home to the Wyvilles for how long?
They've got an unbroken line since 1066, and this has been the Wyville family seat since the 1500s. So we've been on this site since that day. So there was an Elizabethan house on this site, which was built in 1538.
And just going back to some of the male characters in the lineage, we've got this fascinating character I'd love you to share with us called Reverend Christopher Wyville.
Yeah, so he's one of our most cherished ancestors. He was an MP, but really was instrumental in the anti-slavery campaign. And he created this group called the Yorkshire Association, and they lobbied incredibly hard for the abolition of slavery. He declared himself an enemy of slavery. And, you know, it wasn't a terribly fashionable movement at the time.
What date are we talking about?
We're talking about the late 1700s.
So slavery was right at its peak.
Yeah, and he made it his cause. And this went on through the generations. So his second son was Christopher Wyville, who commanded HMS Cleopatra, and they took to the seas and they would chase Portuguese slavers and liberate the slaves from their slave ships. So he is one of our most revered ancestors.
Reverend Christopher, we'll raise our glass of water to
you. There is the most beautiful portrait of him in the dining room, actually, and there, you know, kindness exudes from it. There is,
isn't,
you know,
that
he has this extraordinary
reverence
from it, yes.
How wonderful. Can we talk about this rather extraordinary character who was an English chess master?
Yes, so he was an amazing man. He was the MP for Richmond. He then went on to propose to Florence Nightingale, but it was around that time she had sort of had this, you know, visitation from God, and she knew what her calling was to be, and she wasn't that keen on the idea of marrying into the landed gentry and that being her life's work, so she actually refused. The Marmaduke then went off and proposed to Laura Ibbotson, and in doing so inherited Denton Park, which was, you know, one of the greatest assets of the Wyville family. It's a beautiful 7,000-acre estate in West Yorkshire, so it couldn't have been a more different
outcome
or trajectory.
So what did this Marmaduke create? Because apparently the chessboard even to this day marks his name.
It does. So there was some tactical move involving pawns, I'm not a chess player, that still is referred to as the Wyville formation.
Now that is some feat.
Yeah.
Now, I, like you, am not great at chess, but I do often think life is a bit of a game of chess.
Yeah.
So maybe we should all be learning a bit
and
more.
Interestingly,
chess.
My little niece, who is 7 years old, is showing some serious form
Goodness.
At chess. So maybe she carries
it's in the genes.
Maybe she carries the gene. Here's
so there you are. The genes are there in the chessboard. So just going to the women in your family. Do you have any of the women that you've just looked back in history and thought, wow, they are amazing?
Laura Ibbotson, who was married to Marmaduke Wyville, you know, she was the introduction to Denton Park, which was a game changer for the Wyville family. So there are two collections in this house to date. Denton Park is no longer Wyville family seat, but there are two art collections in this family and a lot of Ibbotson and Wyville family portraits.
So they came in through this.
They came in through that line.
It is so strange, isn't it? Living in the home of your husband's that has been here for that length of time.
I know.
Surrounded by the portraits of the people that have lived here.
I know.
It's a rather surreal thing for
a
woman
thing.
Moving into these families, because I don't know about you, but I really truly did put my hands together and pray that the ladies of the past would approve. And give me the heads up. Yes, go on, you can do this, girl.
You can do this. I think we've all got each other's back.
Exactly. There's a rather wonderful portrait of a lady behind me here. Who is she?
So she is Lady Henrietta Wyville, and that's her husband.
Have you been painted yet?
I haven't, no. It's been threatened. Darcy, we might sit together.
Oh, lovely.
Slightly less daunting. A great friend of mine has had her portrait painted recently, and there's that slight sort of discomfort about where to put it. I don't know if I'm ready to look at myself sort of hanging from the walls of Constable Burton yet, but maybe that time will come. I've had the children painted.
Oh, that's lovely.
All.
And would they sit for the artist?
No, it's all done.
So
it's
we had a similar thing with all my children many years ago, and we had an unknown artist called Vasily Smirnov. Anyway, he came to paint us all as a family group. The only problem was half the children disappeared every time he arrived.
Yeah.
So there was no sitting, but
no.
and Tom. So then they were furious when they didn't like themselves in the portrait.
Yes.
And of course, I said that you should have come and sat a bit longer.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about you before you arrived here, Imogen. What did you do?
All sorts of things.
So your maiden name
was? My maiden name was Garner, and I grew up in Cambridge, and I went to school in Cambridge, the Purse. Always loved languages and music, and spent a lot of my childhood performing in chamber music and all sorts. So I played the flute and ended up working in corporate PR and crisis management, which was great fun, you know, and I loved it. You know, it sort of played to my personality, which I always loved that thrill. You know, I kind of liked exams. I liked being put under pressure.
And it has to be said that every day there is some form of crisis management.
Absolutely.
There is never,
your day never ever pans out as you expect it to. You know, you can sort of start your day with your to-do list and 9 times out of 10, you don't even scratch the surface because there'll always be something unexpected. But, you know, I don't mind that. You know, that's what we're here for.
Well, that's a very humble approach. Having been
crisis management across the board.
Yes, exactly. And how long have you been here now, Imogen?
So we moved up from London in 2009. We were recently married. We didn't move into the hall immediately. We moved up and we renovated a farmhouse on the estate, which we lived in for the first 7 years. Had our first 2 of our 3 children in the farmhouse and just gradually took on the sort of running of the estate from Charles and Maggie. And that time in the wings afforded us the chance to get our heads around it and not have too many surprises in the running of it. But it was a lovely way of easing ourselves out of London and gently into this new world that we found ourselves
very
in.
Very new world. So Imogen, you are married to Marmaduke, yes?
Marmaduke Darcy William Wyville.
Now that's quite a handful.
It's quite a handful.
And hang on, and his father is called?
Marmaduke Charles Asty Wyville.
And
my
your
son is Marmaduke Alexander Christopher Wyville.
Now just talk me through Marmaduke, will you?
Because the Marmadukes, it's the Wyville family name. There are countless Marmadukes in the line.
And so how did you meet Darcy?
I was at a great friend's wedding, and this is much to Darcy's annoyance because his mother told him that he would meet his future bride at a wedding, which of course he dismissed entirely. And I did. I ran into Darcy at a wedding, and suddenly this message dropped into my inbox, and Darcy had found a ring that I was wearing at the wedding, which had obviously dropped off mid dance move or whatever it was, and then got in contact and said that he must return it.
How lovely.
So we then had a date in London, and that was it.
And how old were you then?
So I met Darcy when I was 26 and got married to him when I was 28. And then had things been different, we possibly would have spent longer together in London. But very sadly, Darcy's youngest brother died in December 2007, which perhaps accelerated our move north.
To come and support the family.
To come and support the family, I think, in such a distressing time.
Yes.
There's nowhere that you want to be apart from home, and we very much felt that it was time to come back and support.
Well, step up, and so you did.
And so we did. I was slightly more reticent about it than Darcy was. I tried to go freelance and keep some of my London career going, but I remember sort of speaking to Darcy and saying, you know, this is the forever move, and suddenly we became very involved here very quickly.
Yes. So what I haven't asked you yet is, what is your job description?
I wish I knew. There's so many different elements to it. We continue to run the business in the same way that we inherited it. So the main sort of commercial stay of the estate are these shooting parties that we host. But beyond that, we now are looking into expansion into different areas. So Darcy and I are particularly interested in diversifying into the leisure. And so we've done many more events over the summer season. And so we're starting to sort of open up the gardens more. We have a wonderful tulip festival, which is, you know, long standing. I think this was our 22nd year of running that. And we have 7,000 tulips planted throughout the gardens. And that really is sort of opens up our summer season of events. We're doing pop-up dining events and private hire for private parties.
Of the house?
Of the house, of the grounds. We can't sadly use the house at the moment because of all of these COVID rules and regulations. But yes, in normal circumstances, private parties can come and stay and enjoy the house.
Where do you go? Or are you hosting the people who come stay?
So we can be as conspicuous or inconspicuous as people would wish us to be. Invariably, people like us to host. I think it's sort of part of the experience. But equally, if they would rather just experience the house on their own, that's fine by us. We can melt into the background.
You've got a private suite for your
We've
family?
We've got a private area upstairs.
And the children have never known anything else?
The children have never known anything else. Darcy grew up around it, you know, as did all of his brothers and sisters. I didn't necessarily. So there are days, believe me, when I would love to just sort of wake up and
crawl away
and be But it's a wonderful home and we love sharing it. And, you know, we do have the ability to sort of retreat and find our own private space within the house.
What was it like bringing up a family here in this wonderful building?
Ultimately, it's a huge privilege, particularly in the year that we've just had. You know, I've never been more aware of what an incredible place it is to be. It does have its challenges. Again, it's private versus the public persona. There are days when the children need to be explained that not everybody wants to have footballs kicked around the house or listen to Paw Patrol at top volume or whatever it is. But it is the most lovely home at the end of the day. And those who come and stay here really appreciate that. And I think it exudes that feeling when you step through the doors of Constable Burton.
And how do you find sharing your home with the public?
Welcoming people back to Constable Burton again. You fall in love with it through the eyes of your visitors. Like anything, if you stay too closely attached to something, all you see are all of the things that you've got to do with your day, and you don't necessarily get that objective view on this magical place that you live in. And I think each time somebody comes to visit, you know, you see it through their eyes and you fall in love with it again. So each person's experiences just reaffirms what a special place it is to be.
Oh, that's lovely. Very special. It does bring a lump to your throat.
It's a remarkable place. The grounds for me are as romantic as the house itself. You know, the children's enjoyment of it, you know, they, as you say, they don't know anything else. But, you know, when you see them buzzing around up and down the Lime Avenue on their learning to ride their bikes, it's an extraordinary place to grow up. And we're very aware of the privilege that we have. And we're very conscious of safeguarding that for them and for their future generations.
And you see that being a baton that you keep handing down
yeah.
to generations.
Yeah.
Do you feel, Imogen, that you as a woman have been supported in your role here?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that is so lovely about being in this position is that people are endlessly reaching out and offering you advice. And it's multi-generational. I'm incredibly lucky to be surrounded by wonderful friends. You know, there are endless opportunities to pool resources and share problems. And it's a really wonderfully supportive
It's like
community.
A club.
Yeah. It really is.
So very few obstacles.
I wouldn't say that. You know, there's always something. But I think that, you know, the fact is that there's always a way. And by, you know, reaching out, there is a wonderfully sort of reassuring way that we will continue on. And there is a way of seeing the light in some of the darkest moments. You know, we are survival wivals at the end of the day.
Love
that.
Which
is the sort of family motto. And not, I mean, I think that's been a relatively modern day motto, but we have been here for, you know, and we do want to make a really good go of it. And so in those moments when you think, gosh, I really didn't see that one coming.
What sort of thing would you didn't see that coming?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it can be so varied. Each day is different. You know, Darcy and I sort of, even this morning, Monday morning, imagined our day was going to go one way. The next moment, Darcy sort of walked in looking like he's just been in battle and something had happened down at the lake. So suddenly he'd gone into the lake and was re-diverting tributary of the lake. You know, that is not how he foresaw his Monday morning going, believe me.
So he actually stepped in
and started
with waders.
Sort of, well, I don't think he'd actually put any waders on because he was half dressed when he came in, sort of looking like he'd been sort of, you know, through the lake backwards, which he actually had.
And for a name like Darcy, I have to say, that must be very romantic.
I adore speaking to Imogen. Despite having the responsibility of the safeguarding of the estate while being a mother with a young family, you can sense the enthusiasm and gratitude she feels to be here. It just emphasizes how important young families are to these grand homes. They really are the heartbeat of Constable Hall. This is a quick reminder that you're listening to Duchess, hosted by me, Emma Rutland, and this is a podcast produced by One Fine Play in collaboration with Beaver Castle. Coming up in the episode, Imogen tells me the romantic story of when she saw Constable Burton for the very first time, and I quiz Imogen on their wonderful tulip festival. But first, I wanted to learn more about the splendid gardens of Constable that attract so many adoring visitors here every year.
So just going now, if we may, to your amazing gardens and to your flowers here, because it's well known you have this rather extraordinary festival, which is called the Tulip Festival.
The Tulip Festival.
Where did that come from?
Charles was looking for something that could be really unique to Constable Burton and met this family, the Bloms family, and they came up with this idea for the Tulip Festival at Constable Burton, and it's been running annually ever since. And it's the most beautiful show. So we are their northern show garden, and we plant over 6,000 tulips each year. Each year they have to be removed again because they have to be show perfect. So we can't leave them in the beds and count on them year after year. So it's a real labour of love. It's the most magical display.
I adore tulips.
So do I. And it's really special. And we've got people who travel far and wide to come and see it. It's meant to fall over the Maybank holiday weekend, but of course the tulips remain in the gardens for months afterwards. So we extend our open season for the month of May so that people can come and enjoy
so
it.
May
it's really spectacular. It's the most beautiful month.
Ugh. I'm dying to come to this tulip festival. I adore tulips. Where in the garden do you love Imogen?
I love the lake. There's something very beautiful about that place. And we have a little sort of walled garden, which is our private garden. And there is something rather magical about it. It's a little bit overgrown and a little bit rough around the edges, but it really does feel like the secret garden. You walk through a beautiful wrought iron gate up a little cobbled path and suddenly it unfolds. And that's where we as a family go and spend ourselves. Days.
And how many gardeners do you have?
We've got a great gardener called Andrew Moss, who is...
great name for a gardener.
Great name for a gardener. And he inherited the job from his father, and he's a single-handed gardener, but we all chip in.
So Imogen, for you, what is the secret of a very beautiful British garden?
You know, the gardens here are... they're not vast, but the way that they frame the house is incredibly special.
So that would be your key, to frame a house. So to our listeners today, it's key for whatever your garden is, whatever size, that it's in some way frames the house.
Yeah.
This is the most beautiful John Carr Georgian Palladian home that you live in here.
Yes, so it is. It's the most beautifully proportioned house and such an elegant Palladian aspect to it. The strange thing about it, even though it is a grand stately home, because of its scale, it does feel like a lovely lived-in family home. So we have our own private quarters, but then we have 9 guest bedrooms, the same number of bathrooms. And then on this, our ground floor, we have these 5 state rooms. So actually each room is lived in and used on a daily basis. And the lovely thing I think about Constable Burton is it has got this very warm, homely feel to it. You know, from the moment that you arrive, it does.
It embraces you.
It does. And everybody comments on it. And it can just be the 5 of us at home, or we can be entertaining 50 or so, but it always rises to the occasion.
Holds you. Mm-hmm. So Imogen, can you describe to our listeners exactly how you've created and brought this room to life?
So we're currently in the drawing room, and this is a beautiful colour called Lori Blue, which was mixed specifically for this house. And it has a sort of pale blue base layer, and then this darker mix of cerulean blues over the top, which are stippled on with a wire brush. We redid the ceiling, and originally this was all one colour. And as we started painting it back into this colour, we actually really loved the two-tone effect. So this is what we were redecorating from, this colour here.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we're looking up, listeners, at the most wonderful ceiling, which is plastered and has got fabulous sort of rosettes and curves and scallops and a chandelier hanging in the middle.
Yeah.
And the gilding. So is that an eagle?
That's the eagle. And then on the top of the mirrors, that's the family crest, the wyvern.
Tell us about that.
So the wyvern is a 2-legged dragon, the tail of a serpent.
Gosh, and that's the family crest.
That's the family crest.
And the wonderful mirrors that give this incredible feeling of one light and two connection with outside with the trees. Is that a cypress?
So these are the cedars of Lebanon. So we've got these beautiful cedars, very sadly in the...
So just for our listeners, just the same tree as they have outside Downton Abbey and
yes.
Highclere. So there are 2 wonderful cedars outside in the gardens. And it just has a feeling of being incredibly warm, inviting, And yet grand.
It's a lovely thing, actually, if the way that you approach the house today would not have been the original entrance to the house. The original entrance to the house is now actually much further up the park. And if you do walk up the park and take that original approach, there is something very romantic about how you meander through the park and suddenly Constable Burton is just nestled into this little situation and the cedars frame it so beautifully. You don't necessarily gain that perspective in the modern day entrance, no. But it is so wonderful.
Tell me when your Darcy brought the beautiful Imogen to this fabulous home and your first memory of seeing it.
Well, it is the most beautiful house, without question. It's so beautifully proportioned, and it is such a pretty house. What they think is that Sir Marmaduke Wyvil in the 1700s was sort of off on his grand tour and getting inspiration from his travels. And there is a house just outside Florence called Villa Emo, and it is very, very similar to that house. It's impossible not to fall in love with it, really. One of the first things that he did was take me up onto the roof, and we sat on the roof together and looked out over the parkland. And I remember him saying, you know, do you think that you could move here with me one day? And I was very young and in love, and I was like, God, well, you know, go anywhere with you. But it is the most beautiful place, and it is the most magical place to call our home.
That's very special. Thank you for sharing that lovely moment. And any other projects, conservation projects in the house?
We've got some little cottages behind the house and other properties on the estate, again, that we would love to bring into the fold to make that sort of leisure offer. You know, we're all holidaying at home at the moment and falling back in love with the British Isles and the wonderful holiday opportunities closer to home. So it's a prime time to do that.
And do you think that's perhaps what's come out of COVID, Imogen? This great love affair that we're recreating the British Isles.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, our happiest holidays have been in Northumberland and Isles of Mull and Islay. You know, you don't have to go so far away to have the most magical family times. And I think we all have realised that keeping life that little bit simpler, we haven't lost out. It's actually been a lovely reawakening of the love affair with what's right in front of our nose sometimes.
That's a lovely, lovely comment. It's a reconnection with the love affair with the British Isles.
Yeah.
Because we know our hands are slightly tied, aren't they?
Yes.
And we do always feel we have to do the right thing for the house.
Yes.
When you're doing projects here, do you have a sort of balance between modern and strictly conventional to the period?
So this is a Grade 1 listed stately home, so it takes the utmost handling. So, you know, we absolutely have to play it by the rules, and so we have to honour that. But beyond that, I tend to lean to a modern aesthetic, and there are the architectural firms that we consulted about potential development of some of the outbuildings have the most amazing way of incorporating a modern design aesthetic into that whilst honouring the historic fabric of those buildings.
And for you, Imogen, you had to learn all this again.
Yes, I mean, it's not my background at all. But I mean, that's what is so fascinating about this life, that, you know, I would never have imagined that I would be having this sort of insight into the fabric of a stately home. And it's the most enriching experience.
It pushes you to so many extremes, really, doesn't it? There's no option. There's only you, and you've just got to jump through the hoop and learn about heritage.
Yeah.
Whatever it has to be learned about the period, about the colours, about the design, about who are the architects, how to do gutters. Yeah. And it's just you and Darcy and no one else, you know, your judgment. And I keep looking at you thinking, what a very lucky haul it is to have you as custodian for this period of time, because you're not going to let any stone be unturned.
No, we try our best.
What happened to Constable Burton, Imogen, during the First and Second World Wars?
Constable Burton was used as a hospital, and there's a wonderful picture of Mrs. Wyvil at the time with all of the nurses lining the steps up to Constable Burton in their black and white pinnies. And so it was a centre for convalescence.
Imogen, what are some of your favourite heirlooms and works of art in the hall?
So we've got the most lovely collection of family portraits, some of which carry huge historical significance. I mean, the library is the most beautiful room. It's also our billiard room, and it has a wonderful collection of books and various artifacts. And we've got the most wonderful hand-drawn family tree, which, again, we didn't even really know that it was there. You know, we had these wonderful rolls that one day we were sort of going through the library with Charles and unearthed these beautiful, beautiful works of art. And they are in such great, you know, shape, actually. You know, the colours are all still so vibrant, but they are so beautiful. You can't really believe what you're seeing, and it sort of sits next door. It's the sort of thing that you...
A treasure. And little Marmaduke, your son,
yeah.
Does he understand that one day this will be his?
In some respects, yes. I mean, what is very telling is that he is immensely proud of his family history. He's so respectful about what's been before, and the rest of it will come with time. But equally, you know, I see the girls playing a huge part in the future of Constable Burton. If Alexander turned around to me in the future and said that this wasn't for him, then so be it. I would never force it upon him. It's a family show.
It sure is. It feels like that.
Yeah.
It's a very, very special family that you have. So, Imogen, do you feel this great, a burning responsibility to preserve this house for future generations?
Absolutely. You know, we were incredibly lucky to inherit it in such great condition, and we have set about maintaining that. And each year, you know, we try and identify one project that we will commit to move that on and make sure that we leave it in as great a way as we found it.
So if we were to sit here on this day and look back at six generations in the past, what would you say, Imogen, to your ancestor then?
You know, I'd wonder how they felt in those shoes. Even though there is that sort of chasm of time between us, I would imagine that the personal feelings wouldn't be too dissimilar. There is this huge respect and affection for the place, and, you know, wanting to honour that and to make a good job of it.
If we look forward to your great, great, great daughter-in-law,
yeah,
what
yeah.
would you say to her?
You know, I hope that they get the same pleasure out of it that we have been able to get out of it. There are challenges ahead, without a doubt, and it's about maintaining a perspective on that. And it's about being flexible and being intuitive and listening and adapting to the place. You know, it's never going to stand still. I found an email that I wrote Darcy, you know, when we first moved up from London, and it's the sweetest email because it's a lovely sort of naivety to it.
What did you say in that email?
It's that wonderful moment in time where, you know, we can do anything. And I think it's holding on to that, you know, and not getting too sort of bogged down in some of the bigger things that you face.
Yeah.
And just holding on to that, you know, huge sense of opportunity.
Anything.
We can do anything.
Well, Mr. Darcy, you did find your beautiful Imo, and what a lucky man. And I think most probably if I was anywhere near those previous generations down the line, I'd say to them, you've been very lucky to have Imogen. She's doing an extraordinary job, and may she keep flying the flag.
Thank you so much.
Well done. Something that's delighted me about making this podcast and speaking to these inspiring women is seeing the common threads and values that weave all of us together as custodians. One of the characteristics I've noticed most is a strong and affirmative outlook on life. Imogen, as a young woman with boundless energy and zeal, needed to thrive in heritage. I'm so happy to have been able to experience Constable Burton in person and share this time with such a wonderful woman. Imogen, thank you so much for sitting and chatting to me, and thank you, listeners at home. Next week, I will be meeting the Viscountess of Hinchingbrook, Judy Montague, to talk about her splendid home, Mapperton House and Gardens. In the episode, Julie explains how the 4th Earl of Sandwich invented the beloved food item so synonymous with their family. Julie outlines why Mapperton House has such astonishingly preserved interiors, and we discuss the rewilding projects that are ongoing on the estate. I'd also just like to thank once again our wonderful sponsor, Circle DNA, for supporting the podcast. If you want to learn more about the great work Circle DNA do and make a real investment into your health, visit their website and use the code THEDUCHESS40 for 40% off their DNA test kits. As many of you will know by now, listeners, every week, I'm asking you to write to me and include some of your lovely messages on the show. This week, we have an email from Buddy in Connecticut. Dear Emma, Your Grace, hello, my name's Frank and I'm located in Cobalt, Connecticut, USA. My friends and family call me Buddy. I so admire you, not only for the hard work you do to make your family home a viable business enterprise, but also for being so apt at communicating its history. I'm also an admirer of Debo, the Dowager Duchess of Devonshire. I read somewhere that you once, upon becoming a duchess, received advice from her over lunch, at a time when struggling with family dynamics and finances. I was inspired by her, how she set out to make Chatsworth work in a modern, dynamic way. I wonder if you have plans to or would consider doing an episode with the current Duchess of Chatsworth. I think it would be interesting to hear you discuss your trials and tribulations, your ideas and your advice. I truly appreciate your example and hope this finds you well. Most sincerely, Buddy. Thank you so much for your email. Dear Buddy, I'd love to visit Chatsworth for the podcast. Fate willing, it may happen someday in the future. Couple of quick notes before we go. Important ones. Make sure you subscribe to Duchess the podcast so you get automatically notified about new episodes wherever you listen to a podcast. I want to know about you and what you think of the show, so please be sure to send me your comments and tell me about your own lineage and the women who have inspired you in your life. Please write to me on duchess@duchessthepodcast.com. And if there are any stately homes in particular you'd like me to visit, do send your suggestions to me as soon as possible. I've started a newsletter that includes all this and more and comes straight to your inbox. It's really easy to sign up at duchessthepodcast.com. You've been listening to Duchess, the podcast, presented by me, Emma Rutland, the Duchess of Rutland, produced by One Fine Play in collaboration with Beaver Castle. From Beaver Castle, Lady Violet Manners is the executive producer. From One Fine Play, James Bishop is the executive producer. Kasra Ferruzia is the audio and visual engineer. Connor Foley is the editorial producer and researcher. Additional creative support from Selena Christofis and Theo Banner. Thanks for listening to Duchess, the podcast.